Hey you! Welcome to the Muscles Mascara Motherhood Podcast, a podcast for the woman who recognizes that fitness is way more than a dress size or a number on the scale, who refuses to diminish her uniqueness to fit in, and who recognizes that motherhood is her superpower, not the death knell to her body or life goals. I'm your host, I'm Lola Bodiogudipe, a fitness communicator, coach, wife, and mom of two. On every episode of this podcast, you're going to be informed, inspired, and invigorated to take action as we talk about topics ranging from nutrition, mindset, exercise, motherhood, and the ever-changing definitions of beauty. If your goal is to be the healthiest, fittest version of you, who is confident and comfortable in her skin and empowered in all her roles, especially motherhood, you're in the perfect place. Let's do this. I don't know if I told you guys, but my kids were on midterm recently. And they went on midterm on a Friday, and I didn't step out of my front door till the next Friday. I kid you not. That was a random memory just now. Like just a few weeks ago. You know when people say, how do you do what you do? And you're introverted. I'm like, watch me. Like, I'm not saying that I didn't go out. I didn't step out of my front door for 7 days. Yeah. I just realized that, right? Find the children. The children went over for a sleepover at their cousin's place, stepped outside. Me, any opportunity I have to stay in my house, believe me, I grasp it wholeheartedly. Like, I hug it. And the only reason I stepped out that Friday was because I was like, okay, they're going to resume school the next Monday. So I needed to fuel up the car, get to the supermarket to pick up a few things and all that. And that, if not, I would not have stepped out till we were going to church on Sunday. That is how much I just love my space. That was a random memory. I don't know. It just popped into my head as I hit record. How are ya? How's it going? Today we are talking about five fitness phrases and sayings that hinder your weight loss and fitness progress and journey. You know how you go on social media and you hear people say certain things over and over again? Or, you know, you see these images, there's somebody doing a bicep curl, and then they put this saying, phrase, right, in capital letters there boldly. And guys, you know I'm always talking about the power of mindset and how most times our mindsets are programmed subconsciously, yes? These things, we've heard them so many times that we start to take them as truth. I mean, how is it? I don't know about you, but now that I'm grown up, even though, as I said in one of my social media posts recently, the calendar says I'm 41, but my brain says I'm 16. But let's go with the calendar for today, yeah? Now that I'm grown up, I look back at some sayings, some phrases that I heard over and over and over in my childhood that I took as the gospel truth. Then as I grew older and I became more aware, I started to investigate those thoughts. And I was like, okay, I actually don't agree with this. I actually don't agree with that. And the danger with this is that if you don't take a pause to investigate and thoroughly examine why you believe what you believe about certain things, because belief is the driving system, right? It's the OS, it's the operating system for our actions, our behaviors, and therefore our reality in life. If we don't examine those beliefs, then we're going to end up where they take us. And imagine how frustrating it is when you get somewhere and you realize that you enter the wrong cab. Imagine you took the wrong plane, right? You ended up somewhere else. So this is why we're examining these beliefs today. This is why we are looking at this belief. And I've chosen the five that I think are some of the most harmful, right? And the thing about these things is that it doesn't mean that there is no truth to them to an extent. But when it comes to life and fitness here that we're talking about generally, there are so many nuances. There's so many nuances. There's so many shades of gray that we have to take conscious awareness of, right? Because rarely is it a one size fits all. So we're going to examine this five. I'm going to briefly go over them. And I just want you to think about them. The next time you hear them, I want you to think, okay, how does this apply to me? How does it apply to me now? Because something might have been true for you 2 years ago, and it's not true now because life has changed. All right? So let's get into it. The first one I want to talk about is go hard or go home. go hard or go home. See, what I need us to realize and think about most of the time is that a lot of fitness, a lot of things we know now and we practice now, morphed out of the bro culture, the gym bro culture. So, I don't know if, think about Johnny Bravo, that cartoon, that very annoying cartoon that used to be on Cartoon Network, yeah? I didn't let my kids watch it because to me, it was just so stupid. He was just a stupid character. And I have a thing with stupid cartoons, right? And so the image of Johnny Bravo is the typical image of the gym bro. So you have this person who's very heavy up here, biceps, chest, everything, and then the thin legs, yeah? The thing about it is that fitness for a long time was just about guys trying to get bigger, right? It was just about guys trying to build muscle and be strong and, you know, just full. They wear the shirt, the muscle shirt, and everything will be popping out. And it's just in recent times that fitness has now evolved into really a wellness culture. So when you think about the foundation of the phrase, go hard or go home, that was the whole mentality that every workout, you show up and you go hard. You go hard at it. You throw everything but the kitchen sink at it, right? So you lift the heaviest. You do the most cardio. You show up 6 times at the gym, blah, blah, blah. Now, what we also need to realize is a lot of these people were on steroids. Steroids, they were on, you know, anabolic drugs to help them build muscle. And when you do that, you sort of like skip the fail switch. So, you know, there's a fail switch somewhere in an electrical circuit that if maybe there's too much current or something, I know I'm butchering this example, but if there's too much current or something coming in, then the fail switch clicks in so that it doesn't overload the system. So our bodies also have that. Like if you're pushing too hard, if you're doing, it breaks down. But what they overrode was that fail switch in our bodies with the steroids and everything that it takes. So they could take on more volume. They could take on more work. They had more capacity to exercise 6 times a week without the fatigue, go over the recommended volume and intensity of exercises and all that. So that is where the phrase go hard or go home comes from. But now me and you, Shola, mother of how many children, wife, dearly beloved wife and daughter, battling modern life and so many things. Now hear the phrase, go hard or go home. And then you start killing yourself in the gym because there's this culture and there's this mentality of if you're not going hard, then go home, then there's no point. And so a lot of people hear this and they try to go hard. But again, because human capacity, we are not wired to, our bodies are not wired to, you know, take that much intensity and that much work volume, we fatigue and give up. And then it's like, this gym thing is not for me. This working out thing is not for me. This fitness lifestyle is not for me. So go hard or go home has its place in context, right? There are phases in life where everything is good. Maybe the kids are now old enough. They're in school. You have help. Your work schedule is good, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you know what? For this, the next 5 weeks, for the next 4 weeks, I want to go hard. That's fantastic. That is great. But it's a short period of time where everything is perfect. And then you can do that, right? But you don't have to go hard every single time. What you need to go is consistent. Right? So that's the first phrase that I've found that is really harmful because it tends to wire this mindset and these thought patterns that are destructive at the end of the day to your progress. You cannot go hard every time. All right? So that's the first one we're going to talk about. The second one is based on nutrition, and that is calories in, calories out. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that calories in, calories out. So the harmful thing here is that calories in, calories out is all that matters. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is that for weight loss, that is true. That is true. So you're like, Demi, are you contradicting yourself right now? Calories in, calories out. And then you're saying that it's a harmful phrase. It's true, but it's a harmful phrase. Remember, I started this by saying that the most dangerous thing about these things is that they have iota of truth in them. But again, nuance. So the concept of CICO, that is calories in, calories out. So it's just an abbreviation, yeah? Is that if you want to lose weight, you need to focus on the calories that you're taking and the calories that you're burning. And let me tell you something, that is the only way to lose weight. You have to take into consideration calories, calories out. So for you to lose weight, you need to be the percentage of calories that are going out of your body being burned has to exceed the amount of calories that you're taking in. But that is not the whole picture. And that is why, you know, these baby coaches, I'm sorry to say, right? Once I see somebody's content on Instagram, I see the tone is thick. I'm like, yeah, this is a JJC, or this person absolutely has no idea what they are saying. Because they focus so much on the calories. Oh, if you skip how many times you burn this amount of calories, then there's this amount of calories in this food. And so if you, that is a very, very basic way of looking at things. Because there are so many things that affect calories in and calories out. Right? So while the fundamental principle of thermodynamics is energy cannot be destroyed, right? You can only move it from one form to another. It cannot be destroyed, if I remember correctly from physics, right? That's the same thing with calories in, calories out, because calories just measures energy, the energy we're taking from food and then the energy we burn through exertion and life generally. So what is the truth with calories in, calories out? Is that there are so many things that are affecting how much calories are coming in, actually. So let me break this down for you. So you have a plate of food here. So you have rice. Then let's say you have avocado. Then you have chicken breasts. So basically in that plate of food, I've outlined for you carbohydrates, fats, and protein. Now, if that plate of food right there is about maybe 1,500 calories, somebody who doesn't know what they are doing is going to tell you that, okay, that plate of food is 1,500 calories. So if your total, energy expenditure, that is how much calories you are burning in a day, is 2,000 calories, that means that, if all you ate that day was that plate of 1,500 calories and you exerted 2,000 calories, that means, you've lost weight by 500 calories. But what the person is not taking into consideration, for example, is the thermic effect of food. Thermic effect of food basically is that there is a cost that that food pays for your body to digest it. So if I eat now and I eat that rice, right, my body is going to take some of those calories in the rice to digest the calories. So it is not going to absorb 100% of the calories in that rice. Now, I don't want you to take this and run with it, because you can never ascertain exactly what that is. But I'm just using it to give you an example that biochemically, this is what is happening. We move on to the, avocado. Because the fat there is almost exactly bioidentical to the fat in body. The body, it doesn't really burn calories at all. It's almost 100% that it's going to absorb the 100% of the calories in that avocado. Then we move to the protein. And protein has the highest thermic effect of food. So most likely you're going to absorb about 70 to 80% of the calories in that chicken breast. So you see that the 1,500 calories that we have calculated, your body is not actually absorbing 1,500 calories. It's a bit lower. Do you understand? Now, if we look at exercise, the exercise part, and you're like, okay, you know what? I am going to burn, I burned 2,000 calories. But that 2,000 calories, how did you burn it? What exercise added to that? Do you understand? Like, there are so many moving levers, because when we are talking about energy expenditure, that is calories burnt. We are looking at your needs, your non-exercise activity, thermogenesis, the calories being burned, the energy is being used by you blinking. Me, as I'm talking now, I'm waving my hands. I'm a very wavy talker, right? I'm a restless person also. So how I'm tapping my feet on the ground, you know, the amount of times you get up to go and warm the coffee in the needs, non-exercise activity, thermogenesis. We're talking about also your BMR, the amount of energy that your body uses to keep you alive. We're talking about, yes, the exercise portion. There are so many things that also go into calories out. So if you now sit down and just try to start calculate calories in, calories out, and then try to give a general description, then it fails. Because there are also things that affect how your body, how much how much energy your body extracts from food. There are things that affect how much your, what's it called, energy your body stores. There are medical conditions also that, you know, sort of like drop your metabolic rate. So it doesn't mean that calories in, calories out is not accurate, but it is not the whole picture. So what is true for A will not necessarily be true for B, because there are other things going on in their bodies, right? So person A might have gut issues. Person A and person B might both weigh 80 kg and they want to lose weight. If I now come with a general, okay, you want to lose 80 kg, so you need to be eating 1,000, I mean, you want to lose 10 kg, so you both need to be eating at a deficit of however many calories, and then that translates to 1,700 calories for you per day, and blah, 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 blah. Person A might have gut issues. That means that her body absorbs way more calories from the food than person B. Do you understand? So we need to put all these factors in. Again, it doesn't mean that calories in, calories out is not correct. But you cannot just, that's why cookie cutter plans do not work. It has to be personalized to you. You need to understand exactly what calories in, calories out means to you. In fact, this feels like it should have been a whole topic on its own. But that's that. Let's move on to the next one. Never miss a Monday. I hate this one. This one, I don't dislike it. I hate it. That phrase of never miss a Monday. Because it puts so much, I understand, again, the mentality behind it is, on the surface, accurate, because there's something about a new week motivation. There's something about clean slates that we human beings like, oh, it's a new month, it's a new year, it's a new week, I feel like I can start over again. Particularly for a Monday, you've probably gotten in some rest over the weekend, and you're all gingered and ready to go, blah, 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 blah. But the phrase never is so total and complete. That when people hear this, it's like something happens on Monday, you have to show up at your kid's PTA in school, or the boss gives you a deadline, or something happens that you cannot get to the workout. Subconsciously, because there's that programming that never miss a Monday, then the whole week, it's like, it's almost as if I can't do anything else this week for some people. Because that mentality of, I didn't start my week right. You know, this all or nothing mindset. I didn't start my week right. So, I mean, the rest of the week is trash. I'll start again next week. Sweetheart, you can miss a Monday. You can miss all the Mondays if you want. In fact, Monday can be your rest day. Do you understand? The most important thing you need is to have the mentality of, what is the next thing I can do now? So, for example, let's say that Monday, the workout didn't work out. The workout did not work out. And you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to make sure all day today at work, I'm going to take the stairs. I'm going to get in my step count. I'm going to be more mindful with nutrition, blah, blah, blah. Or better yet, tomorrow is another day. I'll get to it. Right? The fourth one. This one. You know, I said I hate that phrase of never miss a Monday. This one. This one. Healthy at every size. You can be healthy at every size. You can be healthy at every size. This thing pisses me off. Don't pardon my French. Don't pardon my French. You cannot be healthy at every size. I'm sorry. I understand the premise that this came up for, right? Because the diet culture has just been trash for years and years and years. It's even now that, you know, there have been attempts to clean it up and just make it more inclusive of it has been trash, because people have been stigmatized, shame because of their weight, blah, blah, blah. People have been made to feel that they are not worthy if they don't fit into any particular, you know, societal description of what an ideal body should look like and all that. So that is where the healthy at every size movement came from. And I understand it, but that phrase is very harmful. You cannot be healthy at every size, because there are certain metrics that determine what health is. And so you can be unhealthy being very slim. You can be unhealthy being a size 6. If your height and your age, your body fat percentage, what's going on with your menstrual cycle says otherwise, you are not healthy. You can be unhealthy at a size 18, at a size 16. For your height, Whereas somebody else at a size, you know, 16 might still be healthy because of their height. Do you understand? You cannot be healthy at every size. Health has parameters. There's a healthy body fat percentage a woman needs to have. There's a lean muscle mass that at least you should have on your body. Your menstrual cycle should tell you that you're healthy. Your digestion. So many bowel markers in our body that tell us whether we are healthy or not, aside from even what the medical personnel say. So size is not aim. You cannot be healthy at every size. I'm sorry. And this is not about being slim. This is not about being a size 8. Right? Because if it's, and it's not about a certain weight, because if I get on the scale right now and you take my BMI to tell you I'm overweight, yeah, it will. Because it's dealing with weight, but the weight on the scale doesn't say everything, because I have quite a bit of muscle mass that is being measured on the weight. And muscle is like the healthiest tissue that you can have in your body. So it's not about that. But it's about what is the state of your health truly saying. It's not about your size. The fact that somebody looks big and they can tweet, they can jump, they can dance, they can, it doesn't mean they're healthy. I'm sorry. They might be healthier than somebody else at that weight. But it doesn't mean that for that size they are healthy. Same as somebody who is skinny and the person cannot squat, has no strength, is out of breath going up the stairs. How is that healthy? Just because she's, ooh, in quotes, model size. Now I'm mimicking my son when he's trying to mimic. And I'm doing air quotes. Do you understand? That is a very, very harmful premise. And it just boggles my mind that, you know, because we want to be, in quotes, inclusive and everything. We throw out such harmful statements. And the last one is absolutes. Now, this isn't a particular phrase. This isn't a particular phrase. This isn't, but I'm putting this here because I want you to take note of it. When somebody speaks in absolutes, when you see a quote that is in absolutes, like gives no room for nuance, gives no room for anything, it's just this way that when you hear people start saying keto is the way, carnivore is the way, vegetarian is the only way that you can get healthy, this is the only way, this is the definite way to get six-pack abs, this is a, just scroll. If somebody's content is all about that, Seth, unfollow them. Because if you've been doing this as long as I've been doing this, you will know that there is no absolute one way that works for everybody. And that is why nuance is so important. And it is important to keep all that in perspective. When the most beautiful thing you want to hear from a coach or somebody is, it depends. Okay, in this context, blah, blah, blah. Even when they, at times, because I understand that it's social media, so at times you might put a phrase out that it grab people's attention. And then the nuance of it is described. But if there's no nuance there and somebody is saying, oh, ha, this is the way, you should not eat fruit. You know those silly people in supermarkets that they'll take off their shirt and be picking things from the supermarket. Tell you, this is why you should never eat oats. You should never eat fruit. But just unfollow. Because it's absolutely trash. All right. 5 top phrases that I believe are harming, you know, people's progress. And that is it out there. If you think of any more, you want us to do a part. I am going to do a part 2 of this. 5 most helpful phrases. So watch out for that. But as usual, if you got value from this, you enjoyed it, just let me know. Send me a DM on Instagram. Take a screenshot. Share to your stories. Tag as many people as you can. Share this episode with someone. And yeah, I'll speak to you on Monday. Have a super blessed and productive and restful weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday.